If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Not long ago, a surprise came in the mail to me, and I could not have been more thrilled. It is a copy of Moby Dick by Herman Melville, which, of course, as many of you may know, begins with one of, if not, it begins with arguably the most famous opening line in the history of literature, "Call me Ishmael." I didn't know where it came from, and then all of a sudden I see, oh my God, it's designed and illustrated by a man I admire tremendously as an artist and as a writer, Dmitry Samarov. Dmitry, this was an unbelievable surprise for me. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Yeah, I made sure that Mallory, who's the publisher of Magdalen House, sent you a copy because I figured it might be something that would be up your alley.
Oh, Moby Dick is so up my alley. I mean, I read it when I read it when I was relatively young. I've read it twice. I read it when I was relatively young, maybe 18.
How relative? Okay, yeah.
18, and I read it again, and I don't remember why, when I was in my was in my 30s, and now I am much, 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 much older than that. You write in here that you read it first when you were 33 years old and going through a divorce. What compelled you to pick up Moby Dick? What did you know about Moby Dick that compelled you to pick it up? And obviously it helped get you through that wicked time.
Like a cheap paperback kind of came within my on my radar somehow.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a crazy time, and I was so, well,
yeah.
You know, anybody who's gone through a divorce, knows that everything up is down and left is right, and, you know, black and white.
Yes.
I was just grasping at anything that would help me, life raft.
It obviously did.
Moby Dick was the life raft. And somehow, I'm one of the few people who, you know, grew up in America. I wasn't born here, but I grew up here. That wasn't assigned it in high school and had it spoiled for me because as a homework assignment, you know.
Exactly. And then you realized, you write in the designer's note here, not up to Melville, but it's pretty good. You write, after November 5th, 2024, I cast about for a project immersive enough for me to forget the news. You canceled your subscriptions in the New York Times and other publications. Then you read about what you call tech hucksters, and which I would call them too, claiming to make millions publishing new versions of classics that had just gone in the public domain. You found Moby Dick through fabulous Project Gutenberg. Explain what that is to people. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, Project Gutenberg gathers basically everything available via public domain in the U.S., either by e-books or audiobooks. So there's thousands and thousands of texts that have gone into public domain that anyone can access and can publish if they'd like.
Mm-hmm.
So in the case of Moby Dick, which is up near the top of any of their lists and is in the conversation always as, you know, the greatest American novel.
Yep.
Wow, I just totally lost my train of thought.
No, don't worry about it.
Yeah,
it's Project Gutenberg is how Dmitry got his hands on this.
I started looking around, and I didn't want to get rich quick scheme, and I didn't want to brag about, you know, sort of putting one over on people, which is what these tech guys were doing. They even make, apparently, YouTube videos, which I didn't watch, about, you know, instructing other people how to scam others out of their money. What I wanted to do was an immersive. I needed an immersive project, something to disappear into.
Yeah.
I started drawing, and it just snowballed very quickly.
It is felt. I haven't counted them. I probably should have preparing. I was just so taken with them. How many illustrations are in the book?
About 90.
90. Yeah. Some of the ones I love are the instruments of the whaling trade. The
knives.
Yeah. And
the to cut blubber out of the whales, and then the many different harpoons, the endless sailor knots.
The knots fascinate me. How did you do it? Would you obviously reread the book, and as you started to go through the book, would a paragraph or something grab you, and your other arm might move to a pen or a pencil, and you'd start drawing? How did that? How were each of these drawings inspired by the words? So obviously,
it was very, very intuitive. But basically, my rule of thumb was that I needed something with a visual reference, like a photograph or an old illustration that I could transform. Almost everything is sourced from period photography from the time when the novel is set, which is roughly the 1840s.
Yeah.
And which is, you know, the very early in the history of photography. So there's not that much, but I looked at endless images of whaling ships and whales cut in half and
charming. You dedicate the book to Nathaniel Hawthorne. I'm assuming that he is another of your literary heroes.
Actually,
yes?
No. I dedicated it. My dedication is at the very end to a
I saw that.
Named,
no, and I'm going to ask
man named Harry Snyder, but no, that's straight from Melville. He dedicated to
Did
Nathaniel
he?
Hawthorne. Because Nathaniel Hawthorne was a big booster of his.
Yeah.
And encouraged him
forward. That's right.
So my part was only to draw a portrait of Nathaniel Hawthorne. But that's straight out of the text of the book. Yeah, that's not my dedication.
It's a great drawing. It's a great
Thank
drawing.
You.
And
Thank
I also
you
think
much.
I also think it's one of the most – it really is one of the most – it's not a complex cover, but it's one of the most captivating – covers of a book that I've seen as long as I can remember. It is Moby Dick, the words Herman Melville, and the other words designed by Dmitry Samarov, and a drawing of a whale. How often did that just come to you? Did you say, well, and the lettering of Moby Dick is fantastic. You said, well, I'm going to just draw a when you did this, I'm flabbergasted at, and believe me, ladies and gentlemen, it's a handsome copy, and it's only 645 pages long. Was it a joy to reread?
It was. I reread it repeatedly, and in kind of cut up and into pieces. I also ride my bike everywhere, and I listen to the audiobook, so I was fully immersed in Moby Dick for the months that I worked on it. So I would say, like, in total, I probably reread it as I worked on it three or four times, one way or another, you know?
Well, and you write in here, too, that you, to me, a lot of Moby Dick is as relevant as any news story, and I could not agree more with that. This copy I'm holding in my hands, I am 165 pages into it, and this will be the third time that I've read Moby Dick. What else are you doing? What else are you doing with your time? And where can people get this? I mean, can they go to your website?
They can, but I don't have that many. Actually, you can go to maudlinhouse.net. That's the best place. That's my publisher.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Chicago-based small publisher run by Mallory Smart and Balint Murad. Who are friends of mine, and I was going to follow kind of the tech bros idea and just put this directly onto Amazon.
Yeah.
You know? That was my first take, but then I was texting with my friend Mallory, and she got very excited about this project, and about a week after I texted her, we had a contract.
That's great.
Back up just for a second.
Sure.
The cover. So the whale was the first drawing I did. The whale, my conception of Moby Dick, the whale,
sure.
The whale it's, himself. But the lettering took a while, and I was really inspired by Scrimshaw art. Like, that's kind of what I wanted it to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And for anybody that doesn't know, it's an art where you cut into whalebone to make images and text.
Yeah.
All it is just my pen drawings, but reversed in white on black rather than black on white, which is the rest of the book. That's the whole deal. Yeah.
Are these drawings available for sale?
They are. If you go to my website in my store, there's a link to. I've sold some of them, but there's a bunch. There's probably about 70 left that people can buy, and it's DmitrySamarov.com. You just click on store, and you'll find it very easily.
Yeah, they're incredibly compelling, and for me, they enrich the text, and the text, believe me, is pretty rich on its own.
It is. Yeah.
Oh yeah. The whole call me Ishmael thing, that's fine. It's a great first line, blah, blah, blah. But this Melville could write. I mean, I don't know what else to
say. One of my goals as I went was to really, to maybe reintroduce the book to a few people and, like, young people, because they see a big, long book like this, and it's often printed badly in very small type.
Yep.
And they're just overwhelmed, and they just give up. And so I wanted something that was approachable and readable. And to me, I mean, the book is full of these digressions. And he took all the history of cetology and the harpoons and the rest is the best parts. And it's so much like the way we read now, where you're reading something and then you want to find out about something and you go to Wikipedia or
exactly,
some other source.
Exactly, exactly. It's sort
and
of
that's
like
all he did.
It's sort of like Melville is the, is the source of Wikipedia. No, that's absolutely, God, that's really great. That's really great. Well, you and I are going to have to get together one day and just when I finally finished and talk about Queequeg and Starbuck and all the other and Moby Dick and incredible lunatic.
Ahab. But like, we were talking about the dedication. So my dedication is the very end of the book, and it's to a man named Harry Snyder, who passed away last year and was a manager of mine at an arts movie theater in the Boston area, kind of like Boston's Music Box. It's called the Coolidge Corner Theater.
Yeah.
And he was a very early example to me, like as a high schooler, of what an artist was and how they conducted themselves. And he was from the South. He was from West Virginia, and he had a way of talking where he could have belonged on that ship easily. So that's why I dedicated it to him.
That's very, very, very...
His memory, yeah.
Very thoughtful of you. And I also love, near the end of the book, the two facing pages of Herman Melville, who in your drawing has never looked that good to me, and then you, who look pretty good, and you look very recognizable. I think this is a triumph of a very, very important sort. Were you involved in, I'm assuming, selecting the typeface and everything else?
No, I did the whole design. Everything that you see in that book, I'm responsible for. I chose the typeface. I did the formatting. I did all of it.
That must have been a joy for you.
It was. It was. I mean, I've been publishing and composing illustrated books for a while, but to have somebody else's text and somebody who is undoubtedly a better writer than me.
And someone who has never driven a cab. Yeah, you have.
No, yeah, and I don't have to answer questions about being a cab driver or even a bartender, which is a later thing. But, yeah,
it's been a joy, and it's led
to a whole series of other public domain books. It's a project I'm going to keep working on.
I do not blame you, Dimitri. It's been a long time since I've seen you, but you've been spending. If this is how you're spending your time, I'm all for it, pal. I'm all for it. Hope to see you soon. Let's try to get together. I may try to write about this. I mean, I can figure out some kind of way.
Please drop me a line if you need any more details. I'd be happy to supply it.
It's just. You can go to Maudlin House. What's the website?
It's maudlinhouse.net.
And DmitrySamarov.com.
And then every other online retailer you could think of, it's available all over the world.
Yep. Congratulations, pal. It's a wonderful book.
Thank you so much, Rick.
My pleasure.